Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of Whiskey and Wrestling.
And it's wine and wrestling today.
We're classing it up again, just like last time. As always, I am Justin Cotterell.
April Andes.
And Sean Farrell.
Big week this week. Hell in a Cell has happened. We're recording this on Thursday because we kind of wanted to get a grip on everything that happened.
Or
but
in other words, hell not in a cell.
Two hells in a cell.
And the rest of a pay-per-view not in a cell.
Yes, it's like Survivor Series with one Survivor Series match.
Yeah, it's there's some real weird advertising going on with that pay-per-view. But we kind of figured we would do something a little bit different with this one, because we figured watching this match would kind of help us talk about the pay-per-view a little bit more afterward, kind of putting things in context. I found out the other day that April has never seen Mankind versus Undertaker at King of the Ring from 98, which is probably like the most famous Hell in a Cell match that ever took place. And we just came up on like the 20th anniversary of it. So
yes. Show me some old-timey wrestling.
Some old-timey murder. That's what you're about to see.
This is the match that made me buy all of his books, except for the kids' books. I didn't buy that one.
This match made him a star. Like, there's no doubt about it. But April has no idea what happens in this match. She's never seen anything from it. And I thought the first time she sees it, we need to document her reactions because there's some shit, man.
And documented in audio form because fuck video.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that. So we're doing a watch along to start off the episode. We're just going to watch this match. If you got the network, it's WWE King of the Ring 98. And we are starting at the 1:46.38.
38.
I'm going to get closer on this
one. We're watching this from a distance, and my eyes are not...
Is it 48?
No, it's 46.
Ha!
I think you need
I was fucking right.
I'm still blind.
Eat more carrots, bitch.
It hasn't been helping. I eat a lot of
this. All right, so we're going to start at the 1:46.38 mark. Rubbing that in with my inflection there. And here we go. So the Cell is coming down. Little side note about this match. They followed up Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker with this match, which was the first Hell in a Cell. And Undertaker is actually working this match with a busted up ankle.
I thought he busted it up when he dropped down.
No. He actually had an injured ankle going into this match.
I only remember, Mick Foley just basically saying, it's like, yeah, we weren't going to have like a 30-minute match because I really don't have 30-minute matches.
Well, I know one of the big fears Foley had with this, too, was that they were never going to be able to follow the match that Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had before. Because they did that first match and everybody was just transfixed by how good it was. Everything from the beginning to the finish where Kane showed up was just amazing. So he knew he had to do something different, and, well, we're about to see that different happen here.
Oh, look, he's dressed like the mayor.
Now, are you familiar with Mankind at all, April?
No.
You're not even familiar with Mankind. All right.
Is he dressed like the mayor of Tennessee, of Knox County, Tennessee? Because if that's the case, that mayor looks pretty goddamn shabby. That sleeve is all ripped up on that shirt.
Oh, I see it now. Wearing a tie. That's more than you do on a daily basis.
Mankind is better dressed than I am.
Justin just learned how to tie a tie this year.
Oh, fantastic.
Fun fact.
Yeah, our friend Carlo showed us how, and then afterward I was like, hey, do you want to teach me how to ride a bike as well and all the other things my father missed out on?
I learned in going to a Catholic school.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yeah.
Did you learn all the other
starting this? this, because after watching the most recent pay-per-view, I do have to say, you can see through the cell a lot better when it's not red. I think that their decision to paint it red might not have been the best decision.
Those people at ringside must have been pissed.
I mean, maybe it was easier to see through a ringside, but than it was with a camera. Probably not.
What do you think was harder to see through, that cell or the Punjabi prison?
That cell. At least the Punjabi prison, like, made sense.
The Punjabi prison made no sense.
It made perfect sense. Have you ever been to Punjabi? That's what their prisons look like.
My favorite thing about the Punjabi prison was the fact that...
Are you supposed to start on the top?
No.
No.
Short answer, no.
I didn't think so. What you doing up there, Mr. Mayor?
I don't know how these rules work. I love matches where they say the only rules are there are no rules, and then they set out like 20 rules after that. That's what the Punjabi prison is to me.
It's like, there are no rules, but wait till we ring the bell, please. Otherwise, it does not count.
We can talk about whatever we want to for a while here, because this entrance is going to take like 15 minutes.
But they always sound so surprised when he finally gets out. Oh my god, the Undertaker's music has been playing for 20 minutes! Holy shit, it's the Undertaker that just walked out!
I'll stand up for Michael Cole on that one. Undertaker hasn't been on Raw in like
No, hold up. That wasn't the point. His music played for 10 minutes. And then he walked through the entrance here, and Michael Cole goes, oh my god! Like, he's surprised that he came out to that music, and it wasn't anybody else.
Well,
like,
I mean, we've been
watching... Do you think R-Truth was going to come out to that music, Michael Cole?
We've been watching wrestling a long time. Like, we know. We know that, like, sometimes they play music for a very long period of time, and no one shows up. Or maybe, like, Shawn Michaels shows up, or Triple H shows up, dresses him, making fun of him, because that's what they used to do.
I will say this. Ziggler trolled us all like a year ago with that, when it started on SmackDown, and then he came down to the ring wearing the Undertaker's gear, and everybody was so pissed off. It's like, dude, he has blonde hair. You guys should have known right off the bat that wasn't him.
And he's also...
I like the football shoulder pads that he used to wear.
I think this is probably my favorite era Undertaker, honestly. I know he personally hates the Ministry of Darkness era. I loved it.
He's like, all right, you're starting up there. I'm coming. Here I come.
Well,
on the top.
If he liked the American Badass one, then he's obviously mistaken.
I still hate that era.
Every wrestling fan does.
So, something to put in context here, both of these guys, I know Mankind is around 300 pounds in this era. Undertaker's probably pushing like 275. Like, they're really big guys up on top of this thing.
Brought a chair up there with him.
Oh, Mankind don't mess around.
Just in case. I got this chair.
I mean, the worst that happens is if Taker didn't go up there, he could have sat on the chair and waited for him.
Not coming down until you come up here.
Is this in Pittsburgh?
I think it was, yeah.
All right, the old igloo. Sorry, that has nothing to do with anything.
Oh, that was a... Sorry, that was a big dent.
I don't remember that at all. Who fucking built this cage?
Well, they didn't build it for people to stand on top of.
Yikes. Yeah, it's definitely not built as well as they build them now, because they know people are going to get on top of them, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's the last Mankind or Mick Foley match against Triple H.
Whoa. Oh, that was a big man gone over the edge right there. Is he okay? Oh.
As God is JR's witness, he has been broken in half.
Did he die? Is he dead now? I'm laughing, but I'm really uncomfortable. I'm serious.
That was the Spanish announce table, and the dude jumped over to the other side. Look at him if you get a chance again. He looks terrified. He has the look on his face of a 300-pound man that just flew in front of him.
No bueno.
What?
Por qué?
Nobody's even like run over him to check and see if he's okay. Whoa.
Now, here's a fun fact. He actually separated his shoulder in that fall.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I can't believe he hurt
himself. Well, no. He does the rest of this match with separated shoulders.
Oh, don't ruin it for her.
Wait, there's more?
Don't ruin it for her. Jesus. It's like when I accidentally told my niece and nephew there's no Easter Bunny or Santa Claus.
I thought he died.
Oh, no, Terry Funk used to be he is an old-timey wrestler.
Well, thank you, Terry Funk, for going and checking on him, because no one else did.
Terry Funk is actually the guy from the ECW One Night Stand I showed you with the barbed wire, where he was all wrapped in it, and he's like, my, over and over again.
Forever! For those who've seen Beyond the Mat.
I don't understand. Oh, now he's finally got people looking at him.
Like doctors.
Like 10 minutes to get over there.
Not an old-time wrestler, real doctors, paramedics.
Did I win?
Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. Does it look like I'm okay? But I'm going to keep doing stuff.
Yeah, see? Shoulder problems.
Separated shoulders are no joke. Did that to myself playing soccer, and my shoulder still pops out every now and then while I'm sleeping.
You're not supposed to use your arms and shoulders during soccer.
I was a goalie.
Oh.
So suck a butt.
There is no way to take that fall.
To it. Oh yeah, you can see the guy jump across. The best part about this is all the replays, because no matter how many times I see it, I never get old of this. I mean,
imagine if you were that Spanish commentator and you like were showing somebody this match every time. Watch me, look at the air I got jumping over the thing away from the table.
please say it in Spanish.
¿Por qué? No.
I think
no.
The guy that like came towards the camera like really had a haul ass, because he had no idea where he was going.
Can you imagine being at that table and they tell you what they're planning on doing? Like, yeah, this big 300-pound motherfucker's going to fly at you off the table.
I feel like they wouldn't have to explain it to you if you were at that table, because that's always the table that gets smashed.
They're bringing the cage up.
Yeah, with Taker still on it, there's Vince McMahon and Sergeant Slaughter.
Hey guys, I'm still up here.
Here's the...
Excuse me.
Something really interesting is that McMahon is supposed to be a heel in this era, too. Like, he's in a feud with Steve Austin. He's supposed to be all evil, but he's still there at ringside because he's just genuinely like, holy shit, he might be dead. Like, he's just genuinely afraid.
I feel like he does care about his wrestlers. At least that's what Mick Foley said.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, to break kayfabe at this point, like, to come out there, like, when you're in an active storyline, when you're supposed to be this, like, evil shit heel.
You know what? I think fans are fine with that. At least I was at that time. Because I was like, we all knew he owned the company. We all knew
he looks more disappointed than concerned, I do have to say. That's yes. More of a, like, really? You couldn't just get up and finish face that he's got on his face?
No, that's more of a, really? You did that on our pay-per-view?
It's like when you tell your dad, like, that you got the broken arm for trying to jump your bike over something.
Another
like.
Little comment. Why are the underneaths of his armpits red? Did you notice that? Is he, like, sweating blood? Look at that shit.
He might have cut himself, like, going on that table.
It's tough to tell from this angle. We'll have to get a closer shot.
Undertaker's like, cool, I'll just hang out up here.
Can someone let me down? You guys know I am not really a zombie, right? I do need someone to lower this thing so I can get back down.
Is he just going to stay up there?
Yeah, I mean, where else? I mean, he's got to wait until he goes down.
Is there more? They're taking him away.
Points to that random lady that screamed because she really sold it well. She really added to this.
Bloody murder. Did they drop him?
Who, Taker? No, he's climbing down now.
No, I meant the... What's his name?
Easy.
It's easy to climb over a fence. It's always harder to climb down them. I'm so happy they put those holes in so you can climb up it now.
This is the moment that made him a star right here, man.
It's Santa. Mick Foley will always be Santa to me.
The match ain't over yet.
I still think he's Santa. Especially now with the shorter hair.
Yeah. I miss him having the long hair, man.
Right there with the separated
he,
shoulder.
He does, yeah. Ouch. He doesn't look like Santa due to DDPY. Or DDP yoga.
We need to do some of that soon.
You just missed it.
Well,
God damn it.
I
wasn't
talking.
You're supposed to look at the screen.
So we're going to rewind this now because someone on our crew has ADD.
Oh, you put the mic in front of my face. Let me turn my head to not talk into it.
Here, okay. So we rewound it to 159.17.
I don't even want it now.
Do you want to go chase a butterfly in the courtyard before we do this?
It's dark outside.
They might be out there. You don't know.
They still fly and butter around.
We're in California. They have nice butter. Weather here.
Is that the technical term?
They do butter shit.
They do some buttering.
All right.
And play.
Oh, my. The structural integrity of that cage is terrible.
Well, it was...
And there's Terry Funk.
Let's just throw him off of it again.
Well, the whole plan was, like, apparently it was supposed to give, like, progressively as he chokeslammed him on it, but I guess they hired some shitty construction guys.
He's standing up there like, all right, this time I really did kill him.
Oh, no, he definitely thought that, because Foley even said, like, afterward they had a conversation. And he's like, what were you thinking when you were looking down at me? He's like, I thought you were dead. I really did.
I think they hired the same people to create that cage. See, I thought that's right there where he hurt his ankle.
Oh, I could see that being a thing. It definitely looked like he rolled it.
Yeah.
He's kind of wedgy, though.
Can we applaud Terry Funk's sweatpants, high sock, and old Nike combo going on here?
I'm like really digging the outfit.
Flopping around.
Like, he's missing a sock.
Terry Funk is flopping around in that ring like he's the one that took the dive off of the cage.
Can I just say, one of his shoes just fell off and his sock already had brown shit on it.
Oh, the chair landed on his face.
Yeah. According to me, Foley, that fall would hurt a lot more than the other one.
Well, I don't think he knew it was going to happen.
No one did. Terry Funk's shoes are still in there. He got choke slammed out of
That's
his shoes.
What I'm saying. He lost a shoe and his sock was already brown. Like, he was wearing white socks and one of them was already really dirty. He was like,
did he shit into his socks
on
from the impact?
I don't understand. How is your sock already that dirty?
I crapped in my shoes.
He probably takes his sneakers off on the plane and it got dirty on the ground.
In poop?
Look at Foley's face, man. Yeah. He's not.
Did the chair hit him or did the impact make him bleed?
Actually, his tooth is broken and it pushed through his lip.
Yeah. It's like the whole Cesaro moment all over again.
This is the moment that made Mick Foley famous.
Oh.
His tooth is in his nose.
Oh, my God. Ew. Ew. Is it like, is it just stuck in his mustache, or is it like through the top of his lip?
It's in his nose. It pushed through his lip into his nose.
That is so terrible.
But that was from the chair smashing him in the face. But the announcer was like, he's smiling. He likes it. And that's what made him sell books.
I don't think he knew where he was at the time either. Like, no.
This is where he came up with Dude Love.
I'm fine.
So how was your wrestling class? You ready to do this?
I didn't go to the class, unfortunately. They have them on Wednesdays, though, so I'm actually going to go check it out pretty soon. Probably next week.
Stop hitting him in the face.
No, that was in his separated shoulder.
I don't care. It was too close.
It's his separated. your shoulder's messed up? Here, let me smash it with these chairs.
Ugh.
Depending on who's talking, they were like between 3 to 1,000 pounds.
It's poor face. It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
That's like some Sid Vicious shit. Oh, hang on. I dropped you on your neck. Let me do it one more time.
Ugh. Don't touch it. Why would you touch it? What is wrong? Stop hitting me in the face.
How much hair dye do you think Undertaker was using at this point?
Not enough.
Look at that shit.
That was a bad angle because it looked like he was never there.
Yeah, it did. It looks like he just jumped into the fence.
Fucking Kevin Dunn.
I give up. I feel terrible for this. I'm just going to dive into this fence.
Do you think Kevin Dunn saw Foley's teeth after this match and was like, thank God I'm not the only one anymore? That was excessively mean. I'm sorry.
Look at the guy in the front row staring at his face. He's got such a look of concern. Like, don't look at me. Just stop looking at me.
Just end this shit. I hope WWE paid that lady to keep screaming like that.
That might have been his wife. Was his wife in this ring match?
No. I think he might have had the common sense on this one to tell her to stay home.
No, hell is in Pittsburgh. All right, I was right. Fantastic. So excited. I know my hockey arenas.
Props to you.
I kind of... I've got to give props
the
to...
The Penguins play there.
The what?
Penguins.
The Pittsburgh Penguins.
It's a hockey team.
What are you playing at?
The penguin.
The porg?
There is a stuffed porg. Oh, man. They're taking it busted open.
That's not a penguin?
Don't you watch the Star Wars?
There's a stuffed porg in our living room.
I watched the real ones. Like the Ewoks, Star Wars Christmas.
Star Wars Christmas?
You've never been?
But.
Do you put Star Wars Christmas above Last Jedi?
Yeah, because...
they didn't try to rewrite the whole franchise.
Yeah, because this rebellion's over now. It's like, what's episode 9 going to be? They're just basically a terrorist cell.
Weren't they originally in the first trilogy, though, too?
No, they
had
a fleet.
Really think about it, the rebels were terrorists.
They had a fleet.
They were
when
terrorists.
When you have a fleet, you're not a terrorist. You're a revolution.
Well, I'm
like
pretty
the,
sure ISIS has a fleet of, like, pickup trucks.
That's not the same. They had legit stuff, man.
They're still terrorists. Bunch of rebel scum.
Oh, this is great. This is fantastic.
Oh, no.
And why does it look like a penguin then?
Someone was high when they made it, man.
They had to make them because they filmed.
So thumbtacks.
On a place that had too many, what was it, puffins everywhere? So they had to CGI something over
there. I know there was a moment of silence
so they made
on the...
What's a puffin?
A puffin?
They're like little birds.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh.
Y'all are about to miss some awesome shit.
I'm not missing anything. Anymore.
That moment of silence a minute ago was when the thumbtacks hit the ground and April just stared.
He deserves to be thrown on those thumbtacks. But I have a feeling that he's not going to go on to the thumbtacks. No. No more for him. I don't understand if that blood on the Undertaker's face is his own or
That's his own.
Okay. Well, he deserved that as well.
He got his face raked across the steel cage. He got shredded.
The fact that there's
himself, is that when that happened?
Like he bladed? Yeah. They don't do it anymore though.
Saying like he dove into this fence himself.
No. Mick Foley actually took his face and was rubbing it against it.
Gotcha. Gross.
Looks like Mick Foley's about to win this match.
No. No. Man, did he like just not wrestle for like a year after this? Because I'm pretty sure that I would just not wrestle for like a long time after this.
Nah, he kept going.
Oh, yeah.
Don't roll in them. What are you doing?
After this match, he actually went up to, I think it was JR or someone, and he said, I'm sorry that we forgot the thumbtack spot. And they were like, dude, you did it. He was that out of it. Like, just the, he was going on sheer adrenaline throughout the whole match.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
No! No! I'm uncomfortable.
I think that's kind of the point.
It's enjoyable to see how uncomfortable you get.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I would say it's not so much a wrestling match as just like a giant spot fest throughout the whole thing, you know? So it's hard to say it's in like my top five matches of all time, but god damn if it ain't in my top five moments.
Oh yeah. I mean, anyone who saw that has never been like, wait, which Mick Foley Hell in a Cell match?
I remember watching this with my dad. Like, we were watching it live on pay-per-view, and we both, like, I remember the genuine feeling of concern we had throughout the whole thing. Like, we thought he was dead after that first bump off the top. Like, we thought it was done, and then it kept going. And we were like, well, at least we know it ain't going to get worse than that. and it just got worse so much quicker.
Everything about it. And now they have an entire pay-per-view about this type of match.
Except they only let it happen twice with two matches.
And they're extremely watered down. But I mean, like, all right, so let's take this match in context. Oh, by the way, that guy with the long hair, that was Sub-Zero in the Mortal Kombat movies. The guy that's checking on him right now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was their on-camera medical guy. He was actually a martial artist, and he played Sub-Zero in both of the Mortal Kombats. Oh. Not both, but in the first one.
Why would you say both if it was only the first one?
Because he actually, I forgot he took the mask off in the second one. It was some other dude under there.
So how do you know that it was him in the first one? Maybe it was another dude as well.
Oh, because Bruce Pritchard confirmed it. He was the backstage guy for WWF for, like, forever up until 2008. So, all right. So I guess that's a good place to stop it.
Don't lay me on my front. Everything hurts. Just don't lay me on anything. Just take care of me right here.
Right? Like, when are we going to have something where you can actually just be air, like, lifted up by air?
I mean, the cage is going up. You know?
Just
hook me up to that thing.
You would think after the first time they stepped on the cage and it busted that maybe they would have thought about not doing that spot.
Nah.
Yeah, because it popped up in the first time, just like a little bit. But I think that was just, maybe they just tried a different square thinking that it wouldn't fall through.
Well, they had to find a way to get back into the ring, you know? So unfortunately, they were kind of committed at that point.
Well, I mean, they didn't shut the door because they didn't go in through the door.
That is also a true story. They did not lock the door.
Yeah, and they could have just gone to the floor and then gone in that way. Does he have tacks in his shoes?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want to lay on that shit either. That's what I'm saying. Fuck that. Everything hurts. I will walk out of here. Lay down. No, I have tacks in my back. Do you want to pull these out first?
Hey, there's Terry Funk. I wonder if he got his sneakers back.
Have you seen my shoes?
Have you seen my face? I have a tooth coming through my nose. Fuck your sneakers.
Right, and you know, we all have that one friend that's like, hey, man, have you seen my sneakers? And it's like, did you just see what the fuck happened to me?
Terry Funk has a fanny pack on.
No, he's still got his socks on.
I never noticed that he had a fanny pack on during this whole match. It's like, Jesus, Terry.
He's a dad.
You couldn't just leave your shit backstage.
It's 98. He's a dad. Like,
he obviously has nothing useful in there. Otherwise, he'd be using it on McFoley.
He also has no pockets. Like, that's probably his license, his wallet, just everything.
You don't even have a Band-Aid? What a terrible fanny pack owner you are.
Foley's looking down at it right now like, is that a fanny pack? They didn't even take the monitors off. Like, there's a monitor in that table still. If he hit that shit, oh my God. I have to give props to Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler for actually being able to do commentary throughout this, because the entire time I would have just been like, what the fuck, over and over again.
Oh, yeah, that I don't understand. You're totally right about the Stone Cold and Kane match.
If
it's a first blood match and you're with somebody who's wearing clothes from head to toe.
I think that's why we all watched it, because we were like, I wonder how they're going to be able to pull it off.
You know, like, you could see the blood through a white outfit, but you can't see it because he's wearing red and black.
And then Austin ended up losing it because...
I'm fine.
Yeah. There was no creative swerve to make Kane bleed either. They're like, nope, Austin loses and Kane won the WWF title for the first time ever.
Why would you agree to that being Austin? Like, why would you be like, I'll do that.
It wasn't so much that he agreed to it. I think it was Vince McMahon. They wanted him to lose the title. Because he was a jerk. He was the boss. He didn't like Stone Cold. So but that was the character he was portraying. So they're like, you try and make him bleed. You can't even see him. And he didn't. So they technically won for a little while. Huh. It was all right.
So let's take what we just saw and put it in context of the pay-per-view we just had. There was only one really memorable match throughout that whole pay-per-view to me. And that was Orton versus Hardy, which opened the damn show. And it ended with a botch because I don't know if you saw the picture, but Orton got his fucking leg gashed open by the chair to the point there was a piece of his skin that came off. Like a huge...
Like a picture of his leg and then a picture of the meat that came off next to it. I was like, ew!
I'm going to pull up a picture and show you real quick how bad it is.
That sucks. I had zero interest in that feud. So the fact that was the best match.
Well, it was actually a really good match. I didn't have much interest in it either, but it was nice to watch.
It turned out so much better than I expected. Like I had no expectations for that match, and I was like, holy crap, because they just brutalized the shit out of each other throughout the whole thing, man.
I mean, they both can go, and I don't really remember them ever feuding before. So the fact that they were doing it, but it just didn't make sense. It's like you indie wrestlers. It's like. Jeff Hardy. Come on, man. He made his name in WWE.
Yeah, here's the picture Orton posted on Instagram.
Oh, it looks like a tapeworm or something.
Yeah.
And we saw that before the match, and I was like, what part of him is that?
So throughout the whole match, because we're on Pacific Coast time, so we saw it pop up on Instagram. We knew something happened, but we were unaware, what? Throughout the whole match, we're waiting for the spot where he gets fucked up. So even, the most mundane things, he's...
Yeah.
He's sitting there taking an arm drag. We're like, oh God, is this it?
Oh no. It made it a lot better knowing that was going to happen to him.
Who wound up winning that match?
Orton, because the way it ended up, Orton's leg was hurt so bad. Hardy put him on a table in the middle of the ring and then climbed up to the ceiling of the cell and was swinging back and forth on it like it was some monkey bars, and he was going to leg drop him. I think the spot they had set up originally was that Orton was probably going to RKO him through the table, reverse it at the last minute, roll off and then put him through.
Yeah.
But he couldn't, because of his leg, he couldn't leap up for the RKO. So I think that he just rolled off and then Hardy went face first through the table and legit looked like he messed himself up. Like, his head bounced off that mat. But I think he's taken some time off to rehab some injuries, which is weird because he just came back like 4 months ago from rehabbing injuries. Like, he got everything done.
I mean, he always went really hard. So, like, someone like him, like, yeah, he's going to get hurt a lot faster, a lot more often.
Yeah. Matt was smart enough to kind of change up his style and go with the whole woken Matt Hardy / broken Matt Hardy. But Jeff...
Well, also, like, I'm not doing a leg drop off the second rope because, like, I can barely walk because of this leg drop move. But now he's retired now, right? Or is it official?
It looks like it. He went on YouTube and announced that he was retiring and that, you know, he's just finishing up these last couple of commitments. But his last matches he did, I think, were, like, tag matches. And he was really protected during those matches. So I think he might be done, at least according to him. It all depends on what the doctors say, but it's not looking good so far.
Mm. I don't think Jeff Hardy's coming back for a
while. Yeah.
I was like, immediately after that match, I Googled it, and I was like, so is Jeff Hardy, like, legitimately hurt? Because he just face planted from the top of the cage. Yeah.
And it's a red cage, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the red cage.
That god-awful fucking red cage. Don't do it again.
That was his first comment. We turned on the pay-per-view, and he was like, oh, they painted it red. That must have been expensive.
I was looking at it, and I'm like, I can't see shit, and it obviously cost a lot of money to do that.
I believe red is cheap and in abundance. That's why you paint towns red.
Oh.
Now I know where the saying came from. So... Alexa Bliss is on the shelf for a little bit of time. She has an arm injury from...
Yeah, we knew, and it's funny, because, like, during that match, we were both like, she's, you know, like, Ronda's... She's good at what she does, but like I said last time, like, it's going to take her some time to get up to par with everyone else, but I think she doesn't think that, but she goes, like, too quick and doesn't take her time and, like, pay attention to what she's doing as much as she should, and, like, in the middle of the match, we were like, she's going to hurt her. Because she's just, like, whipping her around too hard and, like, not communicating with her enough. And we were both, like, seeing it. And I was like, she's going to get hurt.
Those
and
judo then, of course, like, hip she tosses. Hurt her arm.
Yeah. That fucking bitch. I can't stand her.
She's, like, doing the hip tosses and, like, really you just pulling the arm. And well, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, she's going to rip someone's fucking rotator cuff.
I saw her do that on Raw. And all I could think about is, like, well, that doesn't even look like your move. Like, it just looks like a legit judo move. Like, if you grab someone's arm and, like, you throw them over, like, you're not protecting them at all.
Yeah, and that's what we were both saying. It just looked so dangerous. Like, the way she was doing it, there wasn't, like, any protection of any sort. She was just doing MMA moves. Like,
yeah.
Hey, this is what I know how to do, so I'm going to legitimately fucking hurt you.
Oh, God damn it.
And she did.
There it goes. Now I'm fucking pissed.
So they had to pull Bliss out of the mixed match challenge because of that, too.
I mean, that's what I was saying I was concerned with when Ronda Rousey showed up the first time, was that, like, yeah, she knows how to fight for real, but, like, it's a different craft fighting so that it's believable, but it's not dangerous for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you really got to work. Like, Ken Shamrock was fantastic at learning the difference. You know,
Ken was still stiff as shit, though, too. I mean, like, he went in there and, like, sometimes he would legit, like, kick people hard as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, he was stiff. But, like, I mean, he was also trained in the Heart Dungeon, so he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
But, okay, so she's out of the mixed match. But is the Trish Stratus and her match still on? Because that was, like, the only match at the Super Showdown or Mario Super Brothers Super Show that I was really interested in watching.
I don't know 100% if she's out of that. They didn't really specify the amount of time she's going to be missing. But if it's an arm injury, I mean, Ambrose tore his tricep and he was out for 9 months.
I just hope it's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta Google to see exactly the amount of time.
Well, the good news is she was on Raw, but she didn't really do anything on Raw. She was just there with Alicia Fox and Mickie James when they went up against... Nia Jax and Ember Moon. So the real question now is, like, what's going to happen? I know that Ronda Rousey is feuding with Ruby Riott and the Riot Squad now.
Right.
So Alexa Bliss is kind of on the back burner for all that.
So
I mean, she was going to be doing against Trish Stratus, which is going to be really awesome. Really cool. I was really excited about that. And then I don't know where the Ruby Riott and the Riott Squad kind of came from. I mean, it's cool. Like, you need something for them to do because they're pretty cool. But it's like a three-way match with the Bellas and Ronda. So, like, yeah. Three people who don't know how to wrestle. I guess three people that do. Bree's going to break her neck at some point.
Ruby Riott.
Yeah, she's so bad.
Yeah, it's... Ruby Riott speared the shit out of Ronda Rousey on Monday.
Good.
Like, it was so legit. It almost looked like a Goldberg spear from back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people tried to, like, they didn't want to take it. And, like, apparently DDP did. Like, he just went with it. He just folded up like a napkin. And Goldberg wasn't used to that. And he drove his own head into the ground and knocked himself out.
Because it's yoga. If you're really flexible, no one can ever hurt you.
You remember last year when Goldberg was on those DirecTV commercials with Michael B. Jordan? Like, he was showing up on them. And I was like, he probably injured like six of those stuntmen and kicked their head into the fifth row.
No, he just gave them all strokes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brett.
I just hope Alexa Bliss isn't hurt for an extended period of time because, one, like, I mean, I kind of like her. And two, they're having the Mae Young Classic right now and they tend to sign some people from that. And I'm just, like, afraid she's going to get overstepped by other people if she ends up being out.
I don't think she will ever be overstepped, but I could see, the double-edged sword. So they're bringing more people in. So with her out, you can at least shine light on other talent. So that's always a good thing. The problem is, I don't give a fuck about the other talent.
You're slightly biased.
I am 100% biased.
Were you this like adamant about Sasha Banks when you used to like her this much?
No, I was just really, I just really liked watching her and, Charlotte wrestle. I thought those were some of the best matches I was watching at the time. I was like, oh, and Sasha would like act like Eddie Guerrero and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But I don't know, Alexa Bliss was just a lot more entertaining, like a lot better of a wrestler. And I was like, all right, like this is where it's at.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good thing for Buddy Murphy that she's not in the mixed tag, because I actually saw when like her and Strowman made a comment, and I was like, that is an absolute sexual innuendo.
They aren't even trying to be like, you know, subversive about it. It's like, hey, this is just in your face. This giant guy is going to fuck this tiny lady.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, and we're going to do other things. It's like, Jesus. But like, I thought they had them together just to make him like become babyface, and now he's a heel.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. It's going on too, because that main event, we're gonna there's some things we gotta talk about with that.
So what was the next match on though? Yeah.
Becky and Charlotte. So
that was Becky's, the next match.
Well, I mean, we're kind of going out of order, but
all right, you know. That's cool. But, because
Becky and Charlotte, man, Becky's the new SmackDown Women's Champion, and the crowd, huge ovation. Like, the crowd just was cheering her left and right, and then when she won it, they lost their shit.
They're like, she's a heel now, hate her. And everyone's like, no, we still love her and they cheer for her.
Here's the thing that's interesting though. Can you imagine, remember back, flashback to like 96, Steve Austin was a heel and then he beat Jake Roberts at King of the Ring and gave that Austin 316 speech. Austin 316 means I just whooped your ass.
That's, I understand.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
You're over there thumping your Bible with your John 3:16s. Well, Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. I'm going to put every one of you sons of bitches in the back on notice.
Crowd just went fucking nuts.
I think I remember.
Yeah. It was like, that was spot on, man.
The look on your face, you were like, yeah, I just said that.
That's going to be my wedding vows now. Immediately changing it. So,
you should do Rick Rude. Oh. I want all you fat slobs in the audience to shut your mouths while I show you what a real man looks like.
Take off my robe. I'm just going to do a 45-minute rambling Ultimate Warrior monologue.
Just do Steiners. There was 145% chance that she was going to marry me.
She would just automatically get the marriage annulled right on the spot.
Never mind.
So was it a good match? I didn't.
So it was good, but the thing at the end, like, they both went back and forth throughout the whole thing.
Right.
But the crowd reaction at the end is what made it kind of amazing, because it made me think, like, what if in 1996 Vince was like, no, damn it, he's a heel, and just didn't even try to give him a babyface push. Like, just kept him a heel every time the crowd cheered him, did what he could to keep him like, no, he's a heel, fuck that, and just tried his best to make the crowd hate him until the crowd stopped caring eventually. Wrestling wouldn't be the same.
I think he did kind of hold back, because like it wound up being Stone Cold versus Brett at what, Survivor Series, and they had a great match, and then again they fought at WrestleMania, which was supposed to be Brett versus Shawn, but Shawn had that knee injury,
and that's where the double turn happened.
Well, there was the crowd went nuts for Stone Cold. He was just the ultimate anti-hero. He didn't give a shit about anybody. He didn't care about the factions. He was the only lone gun.
But that's the thing with Becky Lynch right now, though, too. When you think about it, like, she doesn't really have the heel tendencies. Yes, she's talking shit to Charlotte. Yes, she's, like, in her face and, like, has that chip on her shoulder,
really,
and hates her.
She's talking shit as well. Her promos are great.
So is Steve Austin, though, too. Like, you have an anti-hero babyface on your hands, but because they're so dead set on, like, no, we need the fans to accept them for what we want them to be, they're not listening. And they're just going to try and push her to be a heel until the fans just stop caring.
I mean, it's when you're a likable person, and unfortunately Charlotte is not.
Yeah.
No. She is, like, she's just easy to hate. A tall blonde, very gifted, you know, Ric Flair's daughter. She has, you know, all the privilege, all the prestige, you know, like, I mean, you can absolutely think that she was handed stuff, and that's
well,
why she's
like,
there.
Last time, too, like, her promo that was supposed to make you feel bad for her just made her sound like more of a bitch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, she was like, cool, so, yay, Becky.
She was talking about, like, how, remember the one promo where she was like, people don't get participation trophies. That makes you sound more like a fucking heel than anything possibly could.
I mean, I love that comment, but man, you
it's
just
a heel comment.
It absolutely is.
And then, like, she went to go raise Becky's hand at the end of the match after Becky won the title, and Becky took her hand back and was like, you're not taking my moment. This is about me, not about you. And it's true. Like,
so she kind of did the Shawn Michaels, get the fuck out of my ring.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with her, because the reactions from the crowd are still positive toward her. Like, the crowd still loves her even more now than they did when she was a babyface.
Yeah, the problem is there's no one else that people like more on SmackDown.
I would say if they kept Asuka on TV and didn't put her in a bullshit tag team situation with Naomi right now, she would probably be at that level too.
Nah, I don't know.
Asuka was white hot last year, man. People loved her.
She was hot at first, but she kind of cooled off because she really doesn't talk.
Well, no, she doesn't. But here's the thing, though. Not being able to talk worked for wrestlers in the past. Goldberg didn't talk much. Undertaker didn't talk much. You know?
Undertaker had a mouthpiece, and he had, you know, he had the gimmick of being dead and just phenomenal. Goldberg said who's next, but he had this. He talked in the beginning when he was going up against like Steve Mongo McMichael, and he like stole a Super Bowl ring and was like talking about like stealing his wife or something.
WCW was all about Super Bowl rings for some reason. I don't know, man.
Anybody put, like, the it on his pinky because, like, it didn't fit on his ring finger? Like, just like, little things like that Goldberg was doing. So, you know, he was a heel at first, and he caught on. But, you know, when he didn't need to talk. He didn't even need to wrestle, and people just loved it.
Yeah. I think Asuka kind of had that, though, too, where, like, she didn't talk much, but she just came out and just fucked people up.
I do like that she does a crossface. Yeah. I do love the crossface chicken wing. But Becky Lynch would have to go up against like Ronda Rousey right now and
no,
do shit to her.
She'll hurt her too.
Yeah, it's probably what's going to happen.
I
but
think
you could go armbar for armbar. I would love to see the. Wait.
I would love more wine. Thank you.
is that at Evolution that it was going to be Trish versus Alexa?
Yeah, and Lita was going to go up against Mickie James, which is so weird because they've creatively buried Mickie James since she came back.
Well, isn't she still with Alexa?
Yeah, she's just one of Alexa's lackeys, but now it's like, now we're supposed to have her up against like some WWE legend. You know?
I mean,
they came out with Alexa Bliss, and they were dressed really nice, except for poor Mickie James. They just had her in, like, a t-shirt and some blue jeans, and she was, like, looking back and forth, like, wow, I am severely underdressed.
Alicia Fox.
I don't care if you're underdressed. I just care if you look good.
It was a mismatch.
Yeah.
Like, Alicia Fox came out there looking like she fell out of David Bowie's ass. Like,
wait, was this on Raw?
This is on Raw, yeah.
Oh, okay, for their tag team, so they didn't match?
Sorry, it was so bad. I felt so bad.
How do you not talk to each other? Like, if you're a tag team, it's like, hey, what are we wearing?
Mickie James just comes out wearing, like, a denim top and denim pants. Like, looking like a mom going to a Jimmy Buffett concert on the weekend.
Oh, I mean, she's really there to push other talent. Like, I'm not, you can't fool yourself into thinking that they're going to make her something more than making other talent look good. And she's, you know, and it's, I like it. I don't mind what she's doing, but why would Lita be against Mickie James?
I think that
she should
be
against, I don't know, who's another high flyer? Sasha? Maybe Sasha.
Sasha's probably
cool.
The closest one they have. I mean, the thing with Mickie, like, that feud she had with Alexa Bliss last year where she kept calling her biscuit butt, that absolutely killed any momentum she ever could have had. So, I mean, she's not going to be at that level anytime soon. I mean, that's the thing that's kind of crappy about WWE creative right now is that there's a clear indicator of, like, who they want in that spot.
Yes.
You know, and the only people they want in that spot right now are Rousey, Alexa Bliss on Raw. Nia Jax had her time, but she only held the belt for what, like 3 months?
Well, she was bad. Yeah. I mean, she's, unless you got like your Hulk Hogan type and that's what you're trying to do, where you're facing like these giant monsters like Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy, Earthquake, like, it, but you don't. You know, she's a face, so she's not some monster destroying people.
But she's got a beautiful face.
She doesn't wear, I mean, it's the Braun Strowman syndrome. Like, she doesn't work as a babyface at all. You cannot make her a babyface.
You can. She's just not going to win any matches. Like, when Mark Henry was a babyface, he's just not going to win.
Yeah.
He's going to lose all the time.
It's clear they want Rousey to be their female Hulk Hogan.
Which makes me mad.
It makes me mad.
I stand by what I said the first time we were talking about her, about how, she's good at what she used to do, but I don't think that the transition to wrestling is something that she should have made so quickly.
Well, it's the Brock thing, too. I mean, the thing with Brock that makes it different is Brock was in WWE, then he went to UFC, then he came back to WWE. And
yeah, but he knew the rules of all of them. You know, like, he started
he learned to wrestle first.
Learning,
he knows how to protect people, as opposed to Rousey, who, like, does not.
You learn how to protect people, then you let it loose, then you go back to protecting people if you want to, but, like, that's so important. They shouldn't have just thrown her in there and been like, here you go,
you
hurt whoever you want.
Unfortunately, she's such a big name, like, there's no, she has to be, she's definitely has to be the champ.
Like, I get it, I get why they did it, I just don't agree with it, and there's nothing that's going to make me agree with it.
Oh no, I'm on your side. I don't like it either. Yeah. I had zero interest in her being there, like in the WWE, other than as maybe like siding with someone and facing like Triple H and Stephanie.
Yeah, that and she's one... not even terrible to watch because she's good, you know. But
she's... no, she's terrible to watch.
She's good.
Her outfit is trash. She's not good at moving.
You used to like the outfit.
Yeah, and then until she put like the those shorts with like the stripes on it, like when it was just the black shorts and like the white top and it said Rowdy on it, like that was like visually that was good, but like this like, when she won, that she had a stupid looking makeup on for no reason. She had those with those fucking like orange tights, and then like the top the colors didn't match the like her stupid gloves.
I want to go back to our SummerSlam episode and replay that now, because I guarantee that up until she beat Alexa Bliss in that squash match, you were all about that outfit and everything.
Oh, no, no. I was all about her rocking Roddy Piper's coat. I didn't like her makeup. And then when she had her other tights on and those gloves, I was like, what the fuck is this?
I'm really proud of you for paying attention to her makeup.
It looked like, you ever see that Simpsons where Homer makes the makeup gun? It's basically a shotgun.
Oh my God.
That's basically what she used to put on her face.
I just hate how sloppy of a worker she is. Like, watching that match 2 weeks ago where she was throwing punches at Mickey James and you could loudly hear her going, back up, back up, back up, back up with every punch. I'm like, if you're fucking up something that simple, what else are you fucking up?
Yeah. I have Alexa Bliss's t-shirt, all right? Like, she can't be on the shelf. This is absolutely horrendous.
This is the worst thing that could have happened. All right, so let's segue from this into the Raw tag team match, which was Ziggler and McIntyre versus Ambrose and Rollins. Really good.
Yeah, I assumed that was going to be a really good match. I mean, they're really good with each other, but that wasn't in a cage?
No, not in the cage. It should have been, but it was not Hell in a Cell. You remember last year when the New Day and the Usos had their Hell in a Cell match, and it was like a match of the year candidate?
Yeah.
No idea why this was not in a cell.
I really like McIntyre and Ziggler together.
They're great.
I think they're hilarious. Like when he when he carried him off, I was like, yes, that's a true friend.
Yeah, after the match, Ziggler was so exhausted, McIntyre put him up on his shoulders and carried him out of the ring.
He's like hugging onto his shoulder like, thanks, bud.
It's almost like that scene from The Bodyguard.
Take me home, I need ice.
Their dynamic is so good because you got this big powerhouse that actually can wrestle. Like, yeah. McIntyre's he's going to be in the main event scene by the end of the year.
I mean, you know what he was doing earlier this week, right?
No.
Or maybe even today. He was working out with DDP Yoga, doing some yoga, just throwing it out there.
Just so you know, pretty soon here, we're going to do a YouTube video of us doing DDP Yoga because Sean promised me he would do it with me.
Yes. I have no problem doing yoga.
I got a shitty fucking ankle, so I'm going to try and keep up, but I can't make any promises.
I can keep up with energy and red hot core. I've never been able to do the long one, the diamond dozen, or the diamond cutter. I haven't been able to do that yet. But
I have faith in you. That's going to happen really soon.
Does he make you do the bang?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, nothing electrifies your spine more than this move.
I'm going to pull up a video of Scott Steiner yelling shit at us while we're doing this, too.
All right.
I'm going to find a random loop of Scott Steiner yelling, like, white trash! Oh, you fat asses! Like, that'll be our motivation.
I was quoting him at work the one day, but no one else was there that watches wrestling, so I just looked stupid.
Mad that we never got to go to his Shoney's before I moved to the West Coast.
We don't know. We might not be able. We might be able to go at some point.
Yeah,
take a flight to Ackworth.
Let's take a journey there and do one of our podcasts in his restaurant.
Well, we should just set up like a GoFundMe to go to Scott Steiner's Shoney
and do a show there
and do a podcast there.
Yes,
we could always
say to us. We tweeted him when we thought we were going to go there, and we were like, hey, we're going to head down to your Shoney's soon, just letting you know we're coming. And then he responded to you, but what did he say?
He said, come on down for a Steiner line, which was, I was like, okay, that could mean multiple things, and all of them are terrifying.
I was like, I'm not sure I want to go anymore.
Maybe it's a buffet line.
Yeah.
Is Shoney's a buffet?
Remember.
It's kind of, yeah, it's like self-serve, so it's a buffet.
All right,
it's
yeah.
All you can eat. They got a hot bar.
I've been to a few in my life, and a couple have made me sick, so I kind of stopped going.
All right. I love it. The odds are with us. And then we can just play Russian roulette, like, all right, who's getting a 24-hour virus?
They serve liquor at that one, too.
It's like the only Shoney's in Georgia that has a liquor license.
All right.
If you guys haven't seen the promo for it, you should watch it because it's amazing.
Yeah.
His brother like runs a bulldozer through the front of the store and you're like, are you renovating? And they're like, this is my new Shoney's. It's like, why did you just destroy the entrance?
Yeah, it's actually his brother's in the front in the bed of the bulldozer and Steiner is driving the bulldozer and launches him through it.
Yeah.
And then he just is like, let's go to Shoney's. And it's like, you just destroyed the fucking Shoney's.
Oh, yes, the dog-faced gremlin. Where else would he be?
But hey, we wanted to go, so I guess it worked.
I was like, fuck. Let's go to this mystery Shoney's that's just been destroyed.
Now,
I hope he left it like that.
Now, with the Rollins, with that matchup, like I heard like Rollins and Ziggler really went all out and like fucked themselves up.
They did. The only problem with that, though, is like we've seen them fuck themselves up like 4 times now in 2 months.
They did do a cage match.
No, it was not a cage match. They showed up at the end during the Strowman Reigns main event.
They were hanging,
but that
on
wasn't
the
there.
Of the cage,
yeah,
each other.
But they showed up and tried to interfere in that match. So the Shield battled on top of the cage while Strowman and Reigns were inside the cage.
Oh. Now that must have been a fun thing to watch.
Well, I think it's because they knew that main event was going to be boring as shit, so they had to do something to spice it up a little bit.
See, I didn't even remember who was in the cage. I just remember.
Yeah.
Two of them hanging off the side.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we're gonna get to that one here. I mean, but
one of these days we'll be like, oh, we're gonna get to that match later, and then we just never get to the match because it's that bad.
It's.
We just don't want to talk about it. Actually.
I'm fucking mad. I'm saving all my anger for like that.
I feel like everyone's mad. I'm glad I didn't buy a damn ticket to that show. I would have been pissed.
Oh, the crowd was booing the shit out of it at the end. They were mad. But
I
mean,
did they just Styles have a match?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Styles and Joe had their match.
Oh,
that looked like a great ending. Dude, I saw the ending.
I'm. Ugh. We were watching them today have a match at a different thing, and I don't believe that anyone, AJ Styles' wife, would have any kind of... I think it's the stupidest storyline ever.
I think that's kind of the point. I don't
How
think it's
you
the point of...
be interested in Fatty McFatterson's and his, like, skirt diaper?
Well, one, he's Samoan, so...
Oh,
they're all superheroes.
They're all superhumans.
No. I'm sorry.
They
have
just
you seen
are.
AJ Styles fly through the air with his purely conditioned hair and abs?
Yeah, but I've also seen Samoa Joe just fucking grab him out of the air like nothing.
There's no threat to that man.
Well, I mean, it's not the point that his wife wants to fuck Samoa Joe. It's that Samoa Joe keeps saying his wife wants to fuck him and that he'll be the new daddy to their kid.
Oh, and don't get me
kids.
Wrong.
Kids. Multiple
I've,
kids.
I've worked.
No,
I've worked in places where you wouldn't suspect it, but it's like all of a sudden people are cheating on their spouses with the ugliest person.
Oh, I've seen some threes with some tens.
Oh yeah,
gross.
And it's.
I can't even look at him.
It has nothing. It has nothing to do with looks. It turns into
your
attention. Oh, it's attention.
You're just there.
Oh, this person's treating me like, you know, no one wants to be forgotten. And obviously, AJ Styles has forgotten his wife and children.
Toy Story taught me that.
Whatever.
No one wants to be forgotten.
I guess he spends too much time conditioning.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of this, AJ. You're always washing your fucking hair.
I heard he was trying to make her shave her head bald because he's the only one with supposed to be with good hair in the family.
What if he takes her hair and just glues it to his head? Like extensions?
Oh, God.
This is mine now, Wendy. Only I can be the beautiful one in this relationship. So that, all right, so the Samoa Joe Styles match was good. Finish was really the best part of it. The only problem, though, is that we've now had this feud going for, this will be the third month this feud has gone on for.
I told you, I don't watch them. I don't watch his matches.
I'm fine with that feud because it's not a bad, and like the matches end so that it continues on. So I'm okay with it. I'm not okay with Bobby Roode and Chad Gable and The Ascension 3 weeks in a row on Raw.
Well, that shows how creatively desperate they are right now.
Literally, the last 3 weeks on Raw, it's been the same people fighting.
Yeah.
When
you have a 3-hour show and no creative that's good enough to like
And that's my issue right now. Like, WWE, this pay-per-view followed All In, which has been, like, one of the most universally praised things.
Yeah,
and they're not changing the way they do business.
That Cody Rhodes match was kind of lame.
Well, it was traditional, you know? It was more of a traditional kind of thing. But overall, like, the whole package
of
All In.
Lame.
You know? The whole package of All In compared to what we saw with this. WWE's thing is like, oh, we excel in storytelling. No, you don't. Because your storytelling is kind of shit right now, too.
Well, that was Vince Russo. But they think they have good storytelling, but like, I don't think anyone, for some reason, no one's paying attention to that. There's other wrestlers that you can be having these people do this stuff with.
I think, so we've touched on Joe, we've touched on, let's just go ahead and go to the main event, because that's going to kind of...
We're just going around it as much as we can.
All right.
We'll come back to Daniel Bryan and Miz and Brie Bella and Maryse in a minute.
Useless of a talent.
So here's my thing with the main event. The main event's going on. Shield's battling on top with McIntyre. Brock Lesnar shows up, and everybody acts like they're all surprised, even though he's only been gone for less than a month. Kicks in the door, beats the shit out of both of them, and they end the match in a no contest. Under Hell in a Cell rules, where you can only win via pinfall or submission, there are no disqualifications. You can't end the fucking thing in a no contest. Makes no sense whatsoever. Pisses off all the fans, because now the fans at the end, they even showed a video where they were chanting bullshit over and over again. These are people that paid money for a main event, and you didn't give them...
You broke your own rules in the middle of it. Like, at the end, during the main event. It's not like it was just like a side event. That's what people paid to come and see.
I mean, we just watched the Hell in the Cell where Mick Foley... It took about another, 8 minutes after he fell off before he started back up again and then got chokeslammed through, and then they waited another 8 minutes to, see if he was not dead, and then they continued the match. Like, it was almost a good, 15 minutes of, us waiting.
And he finished it with a tooth hanging out of his freaking nose.
Yeah, so it's you just wait.
Here's the thing, though, that we just watched that Hell in a Cell match. That created a spectacle that's never going to be topped. They're never going to top what they did in that match. They physically can't, because someone's going to fucking die.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now the structures are actually made properly, and yeah.
And, WWE is not going to be able to compete with companies like New Japan or Ring of Honor when it comes to in-ring stuff, because they're a publicly traded company now. They're playing it so safe that they can't afford to. So the only way they can really compete is by telling good stories, and they're not telling good stories. Their fucking storytelling's all over the place right now, and that Hell in a Cell is clear evidence too.
Yeah, that is
sad.
Yes, thank you. It's very sad.
You're welcome.
This is a company that has told the same fucking storyline over and over again for 20 years now. We've been seeing the same thing from them. Nothing has really changed. It's still the same basic concept, and they're not trying to push their product forward. Everybody else is evolving but them, because they think, we're the only game in town. People are going to keep watching it no matter what. And their numbers prove it. Their social media numbers are up. The things they look at are up. Their stock, because of these super shows they're doing, is at an all-time high. It could very well go over $100 a share by the end of this year.
WWE?
Yeah.
With the Saudi Arabia show coming up for Crown Jewel. Now, the numbers are classified on how much money they make, but...
It's a fucking lie.
I heard the Greatest Battle Royal made $45 million.
Yeah.
For one show.
It's a lot.
It's if you think about it, as much as you hated that Hell in a Cell match, are you going to stop watching it?
No. And that's the thing. We all keep watching, but it's getting to the point where there are other alternatives that if you don't like what you're seeing on WWE, you can watch other things.
Now, I also don't watch WWE for the main event. I never really did. I never was a Hulk Hogan fan. I was always an IC title. I liked watching those matches. And right now, the women's division, except for watching Ronda Rousey wrestle, but the other girls are really good.
And Brie Bella.
So that's really fun. The tag teams division's getting kind of good, other than the Authors of Pain.
They're directionless, you know.
They haven't like done anything memorable in a while.
They showed up on Raw, and then that was it. They haven't done. They've been feuding with Titus Worldwide for like 2 months.
Yeah,
and then now they're back to squashing jobbers again.
Yeah, with a new guy,
Drake Maverick, the general manager at 205 Live.
Like, could they have at least gotten someone not so pale and tiny to?
He's adorbs.
Here's the thing. They're bringing managers back. Like, after years of like Vince being against managers, they're finally coming back. Like, Bobby Lashley got Leo Rush, who's a 205 Live competitor. The only problem though is like, 205 Live, Leo Rush is a heel on that show, and now he's over on Raw as a babyface manager for Lashley. And that's an issue, because your storytelling's not cohesive at that point.
Right. It's like the DC universe. Yeah. It's like, you have all this stuff, and nothing is the same. Oh, no, the TV shows are in a different universe in the DC universe than the movies. It's like, God damn it. Can't you just combine them? Like, Marvel has everything combined. And it's all the same.
All the puzzles fit in the pieces.
DC can't even keep their actors at this point. So, like, it's...
Well, not in the movies. The TV show, sure. Like, I would have loved to have seen, like, an Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, like, movie. Almost like the Defenders type.
Eh.
Well, I like those shows, so...
But you haven't seen the Star Wars.
I've seen it.
Here's $5. Go watch Star Wars.
I was so excited. I was like, oh, they like penguins too. That's awesome.
So disappointed.
I do like penguins. I'm not going to lie, but that's a porg.
Going to that main event, I just have never seen a company that's like so fucking stubborn and hell-bent on like not giving its fans what they want, to the point where like, yeah, we're not even going to give you a legit ending to this match.
Right, like, we watched Roman Reigns and Finn Balor wrestle.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
I would much rather have had that at Hell in a Cell.
Well, it'll make Reigns more like... You want people to like Reigns? Have him be in competitive matches.
Yeah. Instead of giving him us against Braun Strowman, which we've seen... How many Strowman Reigns matches have we seen over the past year?
Prove like how big and strong he is, when really they need to prove how talented he is, because they're not giving him much room to be talented if you don't let him work with people who are like doing other moves other than just, hey, I'm big and strong as well.
Yeah.
Rollins.
Not as interesting as it should be.
Rollins has gotten more over with the crowd because of doing open challenges, like over the past couple of months. And doing like workhorse matches where he's been going for, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes at a time. Reigns can easily get over that way if you do the same thing.
They started, and I was really like, dude, Raw's going to be great. Like, either the IC title or the heavyweight title is going to be defended on Raw with these open challenges. This is pretty cool. I like the concept. Even if I knew that the title wasn't going to change hands, I like the idea of, like, because you don't know who's... And Ronda Rousey's like, I'm going to do an open challenge. It's like... I thought Natalia was going to go and challenge her, and then maybe something would happen between them, but like, this is stupid. Like, I don't care about her open challenge, but I like the other people's.
Yeah. To me, like, when I'm watching big man matches and they have like another big man with them, it's always like, I don't know. I like it when they put somebody that's like one of the flyers or like one of the, you know, like a cruiserweight in there with them. Like, I think that's more interesting. Like when...
Just like the
Brock
yin of the yang.
Did a thing with, what was it, AJ Styles?
Yeah,
that
at Survivor Series.
Match, you know? I liked watching that.
He's never seen that match. He didn't even know that it happened.
It was amazing.
That's true. Last year, I was kind of pretty much out of everything wrestling related. I was just kind of in a...
I think they just don't, like, it doesn't click in their brains that, like, that's interesting for us to watch. You know, they think that we want to see, like, who the bigger, stronger man is, and that's not the case. Like, we want to see things that are interesting.
Right. And I would love to hear Brock's opinion on, like, facing AJ Styles.
Like he looked
what he
so
thought.
Surprised that someone was moving that fast around him.
Apparently.
Yes, this is a thing that happens.
Paul Heyman said that, like, Brock loved working with him. Like, that it could be a rematch in the future on that one. So, but if someone like AJ Styles can go up and have that kind of a match against Brock, I could easily foresee someone like Finn Balor.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, I know Daniel Bryan has gone on record saying, like, I don't know if it would be a good match because it's not believable. But it doesn't have to be believable. That's the thing.
The thing is, it is kind of believable because you have this big, strong dude. And then you have this little dude that's way faster than him. Because obviously they're going to be more agile if they can do flips off the ring and stuff like that. Like, well, to me, that is believable. They'll wear them out. You know, like, obviously their strength doesn't match up. But
right. And Brock sells. He's not Ronda Rousey. He will sell. Like, he'll take hits and he'll, like, be like, what the fuck? I like watching him wrestle. I really do. I don't like watching him wrestle Roman Reigns, and I don't like watching him wrestle Braun Strowman.
Because nothing happens.
It's just finishers.
Yeah.
Nothing but finishers.
Well, a good example, like, and I'm going to sound like a complete indie mark for this. I know I probably have. I know I probably do on most of our podcasts, and I swear I'm not. Like, I'm open-minded to most things. I hate when my intelligence gets insulted, and I feel like WWE does that to me a lot. We went to bar wrestling. We watched Brian Cage and Jeff Cobb, two big fucking powerhouses, fight LAX, who are two pretty average-sized dudes. They're athletic, but they don't match up in terms of the physiques of those guys.
The one guy put his hands on me.
Yeah. He went to go... Brian...
I was buying this.
Sean went to go get a beer at the bar, and as he's getting the beer, someone taps him and goes, "Move!" And he turns around, and it's fucking Santana from LAX.
No, no, no.
He's going up on the bar.
He didn't say move. He just tapped me on the shoulder nicely. He was a very gentleman about it.
He wasn't
rude about it. He was very nice. I wanna say that. And then I'm like, who's touching? Who's putting their hands on me? Like, and I'm like, oh shit, they're right next to me. This is fantastic.
He touched me.
I'm never washing this shirt again.
Wasn't it your glow shirt? It was your glow
shirt. It was, yeah.
Yes, it was.
Did you wash the shirt already?
Well, I washed it before I first wore it.
Did you wash it after he touched you?
Well, not yet.
Good. Don't ever wash it.
Don't do it. Frame that shit.
Nah, I've got to wash it. LAX
is pretty filthy. Maybe if it was
Emma.
Yeah. He's because we don't have video. Sean just pointed a shirt he actually bought to Neil Dashwood, formerly known as Emma's shirt, at the bar wrestling show. Seriously, if you guys are in the Los Angeles area or even close to it, go attend one of those shows. They're so much fun.
You're right there. The crowd is very, if anyone remembers the ECW crowds back in the real ECW crowds, very much feel like that. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
And they have a full bar. What more could you want?
That one guy that was like basically a Chris Jericho knockoff.
Oh, MJF.
Yeah. I was like, hey, man, you were really good. He was like, $5 for a pitcher with me or get lost. I'm like, I'm not spending money on you.
Sorry that you're a poor man's Chris Jericho.
Well, he was in character. He actually was on Steve Austin's podcast this past week. And, like, he stayed in character throughout the whole podcast. It was fucking awesome. Like, that's just how he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. He's now trying to be like Matt Hardy, where he's always in character, and tries to look like Chris Jericho. And he's got three letters like JBL.
You're a mishmash, man.
Yeah. Find your own identity, dumbass.
You're a bunch of different people.
find your own identity. I want to go to bar wrestling so you can make a stupid comment to me so I can say that to his stupid face.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
So anyway.
Yeah, I don't watch wrestling for the main events. Because the main events I don't watch it for the main events.
Do you want to say anything else about the main event, or are we just done with it?
I just think it's...
Everyone's done with it.
Here's my thing.
I was checked out as soon as it happened.
And again, this was their first pay-per-view after All In. And that finish to that main event was probably the stupidest fucking thing they could have done. Like,
I didn't even know it was done. I was just sitting there like, what?
Yeah, and then it just rolled credits. Like,
excuse me? Like, did I miss something? Do I need to rewind?
As much as WWE likes to make fun of WCW on, like, the bullshit swervy finishes killing their, like, company, they do a lot of them.
Like, yeah.
And it goes back. WCW, like, the main events were pretty weak, but they had a stacked undercard. And that's pretty much where WWE is right now. Their mid-card and undercard is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Now, they do tend to push people a little bit more. Like, Finn Balor's been in, like, you know, he fought for the title, both titles, like, almost consecutive Raws. But you know, he obviously lost because the Shield is, they still think this is something that's relevant that people give a shit about. Is it? I feel like it's not.
No, I think that it's so weird because when they first showed up in 2012, 2013, they were white hot and then they got pushed to the moon and WWE wants to recapture that magic, but they're never going to be able to, you know? It's the 3-on-3 trios type matches they've been having are good. And I like the fact that they have a Legion of Doom that's kind of formed with McIntyre, Ziggler, and Strowman.
I like that except for Strowman.
I think Strowman is something they kind of needed, though. If anything, Strowman should not be given the mic as much. Like, let Ziggler or McIntyre talk because they are really good at it.
Yeah.
Strowman's still really weak on the microphone to me.
He's just weak in general, other than being strong. But you know what I'm saying.
I like him. I just feel like they went the wrong way with him.
There's no way to go with his. When you're that big, like, unless you're like Kane, which it would be nice if they put a mask over his face. That'd be great.
Little baby face.
Well, the problem is that over the course of a year when he was a baby face, they did so much over-the-top bullshit with him that made him legit into a monster where, you know, they had him pull down the set with a grappling hook. They had him flip an ambulance. They had him survive a fucking trash compactor. Like, at TLC, you're not, you can't take that and say like, oh, we're going to forget what you did, all that, and now make him a heel where he's vulnerable.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and a character like that works as a heel. It doesn't really work as a baby face. And if it works as a baby face, you can't have him do all that shit. It's just,
yeah. You know? It's like, stop. Like, cause it's like the Goldberg, like when you lose, it's like, now what? You know, like,
yeah.
Wow, you're indestructible. You're not going to win all your matches because you're not. Well, one, he's not the face of anything. So he's not going to be the face of the company. So, like, where are you going to go? Like, why are you going to make him so indestructible?
I've been listening to a lot of 83 Weeks where they interview Eric Bischoff about, like, very controversial periods of time in WCW's history.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of eye-opening watching WWE programming because Bischoff was talking about his interactions with Vince Russo. And he said, one of the main things I had was that Russo would come up with like these crazy ideas, like, oh bro, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And then Eric would just ask, okay, cool. We can do that. I need to know though, where do we go from here? And Russo never had an answer. And I feel like if you watch a lot of WWE programming right now, that's kind of where we're at. Like, as much fun as they make of those two guys,
yeah,
there's a lot in that dynamic you can kind of learn from by watching this.
Well, I think a lot of the people now that are the writers of this grew up in that era.
Yeah.
You know, like 15 years ago, these people were watching wrestling. They went to college, and now they're writing for WWE with that as their knowledge. You know, they're not used to the 80s where a storyline would go for almost a year.
They're working short term. They don't really think about, like...
Which is why I'm actually happy with the AJ Styles, Samoa Joe continuing on, because it makes me feel like it's not just a flash in the pan. All right, now Samoa Joe's back at the bottom.
It's not believable.
The thing with...
I wouldn't leave someone so well conditioned for someone so nasty. That's all I gotta say.
Here's the thing, though, too. I feel like with Joe and Styles, we're at a point where it could end up being like it was with Nakamura. Nakamura's feud ran all the way from WrestleMania up until...
Survivor Series, right?
No, it wasn't Survivor Series. I think it was up until after... Was Money in the Bank the last match they had? I think it was. It was Money in the Bank, and then Samoa Joe stepped in at SummerSlam for the feud. Right. But we stopped caring. Like, everybody fucking stopped caring about that match because it went on for so long and had so many bullshit finishes. And that's really what they've done with this.
I didn't think this is a bullshit finish. I always like those finishes where, like, someone's being pinned, the ref doesn't see it, the other guy's tapping out, but the ref counts them down.
Here's the thing. I would be okay with that. I would be okay with that finish had it not been for the finish that they had at SummerSlam, which was Styles getting DQ'd for hitting him with a chair 87 times. You know?
I was fine with that. Like, you know... I like people that are just, like, I don't know. He's talking about his wife.
Yeah.
I'm going to be your new daddy. That was great.
That was a good moment. It was. But like now it's like, okay, we're not going to get a legit finish to the feud, and it's going to go on for another month. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's okay because now, which is going to be an amazing segue. Thank you very much. The winner of Miz versus Daniel Bryan is going to face the champ of whoever that is, which is crazy that that feud is still going on since the Miz seems to always fucking win.
Well, the thing with that,
he's
too.
3-0, right?
Here's the thing. Miz and Maryse actually have really good chemistry in the ring. When they're together,
and
like working together.
Ring, they're really good at like talking. They're both good at it. Which is nice to see.
I thought you were going to talk about like because they're married and they're really good.
Well,
really good
sure
chemistry outside the ring.
They made a baby.
They're doing something right, but they've. When she started working with him, she elevated him. I really feel like his transition to where he is now is a lot due to her. You know,
He is more likable because there's someone that likes him.
He's like...
That agrees with him.
He's like Randy Savage.
Yeah. That's a good comparison.
Where Randy was great with Liz. Like, that was the best. Like, he was whatever with Gorgeous George. He was good with Sherry. He was good with Liz. He was good with a companion that matched whatever state of mind he was in.
I like Miz and Maryse together in the ring better than I like Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella.
Well, Brie Bella tries to be like Daniel Bryan, where Maryse was already a legit wrestler.
Yeah. Well, like Brie Bella, just every time she comes in there, I just feel like she's latching off of his success. Like she's just like kind of leeching off of it because she's not good in the ring.
Yeah, that's what Miz is very accurately talks about, which is great. He's like, she was just using him because she thought he was going to make her famous. I'm like, this is great. Because, yeah, if you watch them in the ring, she's nothing.
Yeah. And that's why this feud works, I think, because there's legit feelings that they have. I don't think those are necessarily fake promos. I think these are real feelings that both sides have on these things.
I'm always curious to see if, like, because like, no one really seems to like them is, or at least, you know, but, like, you know people like him. So it's like, I wonder,
dude,
like,
he's cool as shit. I've met him.
Like, I wonder if Daniel Bryan and Miz actually get along, or if they really just don't like each other. Or maybe like Daniel Bryan, like, or maybe the Miz actually really likes Daniel and thinks that she's just a bad wife, and now they're not friends anymore.
I feel like that might be the case.
That would actually be a great storyline.
I can see them getting along without her. But like, as soon as Brie Bella got there, I feel like he probably doesn't like her very much.
Right. I mean,
they
seem
like the kind of people that would be annoyed by stupid people, and I'm sorry, but Nikki and Brie Bella are not the smartest people.
Nikki might be, but Nikki's the more talented.
Nah, we've seen that ride along. That was painful watching them talk. It was like, oh my God, they're retarded. I'm so sorry, you poor things.
The only thing they did well was twin magic when one person would roll out of the ring and the other one would roll in and they wouldn't know that that was the fresh one.
Yeah, but then Miz and Damian Sandow did it better.
That may have been my favorite Miz, was him and Damian Sandow. That was
brilliance.
Absolutely. Like, people will tune in and watch that because it's like, oh, dude, you gotta watch this guy. Oh, are you familiar with Damian Sandow and The Miz? Oh man, we gotta find out when that was.
I showed you the video because like I actually contacted. I was talking back and well, like I do headshots on the side.
Yeah.
And I was talking with Aaron Stevens, Damian Sandow, about doing headshots. And she didn't know who he was. And I was like, oh, let me show you some magic. And I pulled it up on YouTube. He was the Miz's stunt double.
Gotcha.
Like that video when like when Miz flipped through the table and then he just like flipped through the table after him.
He was always on the side like taking the bumps when Miz took bumps. That was great.
He went like Miz got eliminated at the Royal Rumble. And then Damian Sandow eliminated himself by jumping over the top rope in the same exact way.
Like that was great, but yeah, that feud's been going on for a little while, and I like that that's the culmination of it. Like the winner of that's gonna face the champ, which is then gonna be the culmination of that feud, which will be I think it'll be good. I think it'll be a good payoff.
I have a feeling it's gonna be Bryan that goes on from that.
Well, yeah.
I think there's going to be more interest in that than there would be a Miz Styles match, you know?
Well, no one's, I mean, like, I like the Miz, but he's a mid-carder. Like, he's
I like the Miz, but like you said, Maurice elevates him, and I feel like just him being in a match, or just Daniel Bryan being in a match, I would rather watch Daniel Bryan.
I will say this, Miz has been in the mid-card for the better part of, I mean, a long time. He hasn't been in the main event since WrestleMania back in 2010. So, I mean, while I think it is Bryan that'll probably be there, I could very easily see it being Miz, too, because he's in a better spot now than he has been in a very long time.
I could see Bryan versus Samoa Joe.
Ew.
And then AJ comes back to get his title or even goes into the Rumble because, I mean, they'll probably push if they're doing it in like three-month increments. We'll be in January by the time the Samoa Joe Daniel Bryan feud ends, and then AJ Styles can win the Rumble and then go against Daniel, you know, then start up against Daniel Bryan, which would be really awesome.
The thing that I'm okay with these three-month feuds. I would be if there was some kind of 3-act structure to them. I feel like there's no. That's yeah. One thing like that's interesting listening to the Bischoff podcast too, because say what you will about the guy, but like he was the first one to really introduce a 3-act structure, like cinematic style, to wrestling. If you look back at that, the first year of the NWO when they first showed up, all the way through the story with Sting, where Sting thought WCW turned its back on him, and then he came back and at the very end of the year beat Hogan for the title at Starrcade. Even though that was kind of a fucky bullshit finish to that match.
Yeah.
That is still one of the best storylines that's ever happened in wrestling. Yeah. I'm just using it when I talk about wrestling. So, like, but that's a perfect example of like a good storyline. And I could easily see a storyline like that being condensed into 3 months and it'll work for me.
I guess, you know? I like The Miz and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. That is a good story to me.
Yeah.
The story they're telling with that really works because there's continuity to it. There's gravity to it, but everything else that's kind of happening doesn't really feel like it's there. Like the Samoa Joe AJ Styles feud has gone on for 3 months and it's been very one note flat.
Right. Like, because like it would be different if maybe his wife showed interest.
Yeah.
That would be different.
She probably is watching all this shit and she's like, I want no part of this.
Yeah. I mean, you could. Or, like, if he was like, AJ's been talking to this diva, or not, well, woman, you know, one of these ladies, you know, one of the
Didn't
wrestlers.
They do that in TNA, where AJ, like, supposedly had a love child with some lady? That was a storyline. I swear to God it happened.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, he's AJ Styles.
That hair.
Yeah. All right. Them abs. DDP yoga.
Ah, man. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see where that goes.
What's the next pay-per-view? Is it Evolution?
I think you've got Super Showdown and then Evolution.
Please,
and then
it's
Crown Jewel.
Super Mario Brothers, the Super Show.
With Captain Lou Albano.
What is that?
Let's find out.
October 6th.
Wow.
It's the same day as the Conor McGregor fight, I believe. But you could double check. I may be wrong. All I know is choosing Conor and Khabib.
Yeah. Well, based on the time zone, you might be able to watch both.
True.
Let's see.
Well,
WWE
I won't be.
Super
I mean,
Showdown.
Mind blown.
October 6th at the Melbourne Cricket Ground in Melbourne, Australia.
What time? Is it in the morning? Because that'd be dope.
I don't know.
Because I actually think
I'm sure
off of work that whole day.
WWE's going to just blast when you can watch it all over the place.
Doesn't matter because
you know,
everyone's watching Khabib Conor.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you guys want to go watch that fight? Uh-huh.
We'll be out of town.
Oh, I thought you were coming back to 6th.
Yeah, we're
going to
be getting all married and shit.
That's right.
So.
We'll be coming back the morning of the 7th, I think.
All right.
Yep, morning
so
of the 7th.
That's when we'll watch the Super Mario Super Show.
Yay.
So let's see. WWE.
Can't
Evolution.
Wait for the Link episode.
Can't wait. I cannot wait for it.
Evolution's October 28th.
That I'm really looking forward to.
Can we do it in costume since it's close to Halloween?
I'm not dressing in drag.
What if I make you a wrestling costume?
This is going to be booty shorts and a bra top?
Yes.
As long as it's not Ronda Rousey's booty shorts and bra
Sean
top.
Becky Lynch's first outfit since he's so set on her needing to be in a two-piece. He can
it just looks
wear
better.
her two-piece.
It looks better on her.
I don't think I would want to see Sean in a two-piece.
I do.
Look at that thing. Well, no offense, Sean.
If I'm doing yoga, maybe I won't need the two-piece to hold these gals up.
I think the one-piece is just going to look better on you, man. Shit, I'll take
How
a one-piece, too.
One-pieces now?
I'll just dress like Nia Jax.
Walk in and be like, I'm not like most girls.
Cute Natalia's bodysuit.
I don't like that one either.
No one likes that one.
Crown Jewel is November 2nd, by the way.
What was that?
It's November 2nd for Crown Jewel.
So. Oh, yes, and the Saudi Arabian one. Where there will be no... Oh, obviously, there's an evolution for women because they're not allowed to send to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Hey, so much... We don't give a... Hey, we really care about this women's evolution, but we care about the Saudi money way more.
That Saudi money is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, Brock Lesnar's coming back because he's making seven figures, dude, for that one match.
We've done wars for Saudi money, so it makes sense the WWE would go there, you know?
Right? I mean, as far as the women go, it's like they could just stay home. It's like, hey, you want to go to Saudi Arabia? It's like, for what? We can't even drive around.
They're still getting paid. Like, they're still paying them for the show, but, you know.
Yeah, they can't wrestle.
It's wrong
can't.
Because you know they would be there if they were supposed to be. That's the part that sucks. It's like.
Yeah, but on the plus side, the positive side, they got their own evolution podcast, pay-per-view.
Those bitches, they're competing with us?
And it would be, right? And then, you know, like, if it could do better numbers than the Crown Jewel, that'd be pretty dope.
That would be huge. I think it might do better numbers than Crown Jewel simply because people will actually be able to watch it. Because based on Saudi time zones, wasn't Greatest Royal Rumble at, like, 12 in the afternoon on a Friday?
It was, like, a Friday, something like that. I mean, you could watch it later on, but I don't know how it works as far as live viewing or whatever, but...
I know when I was working.
I like watching it.
Yeah. I was working at the office that day and there were dudes watching it on their phones. Sitting at their desks.
I watched it because I'd signed up for that free month and then canceled, but I needed to watch WrestleMania.
Needed to.
And then I watched that Greatest Battle Royal where John Cena got squashed by Undertaker, and I was really, really happy about that.
What were we watching when we were in Tombstone and I.
That was.
They lost my bag.
That was WrestleMania in Orlando. So not this past WrestleMania, but the one before Roman Reigns beat Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
We stayed up in our hotel room watching WrestleMania on my phone.
Because they told us they were delivering my bag in the middle of the night because the airlines lost all my clothes. So I'm, like, wearing his underwear, like, walking around. I was like, this is all I have. I'm sorry.
That's why you always have a pair of clothes in your carry-on just in case.
Yeah. I learned my lesson.
She was passed out on my chest when Roman Reigns beat Undertaker, and I'm just sitting there, like, having to whisper my anger. I'm like, what the fuck? Over and over, because I don't want to wake her up.
Yeah, but everyone saw that coming. I'm the big dog. This is my yard. I don't know. I don't like him.
Yeah. They keep fucking it up, man. There's no...
That was all the matches, right?
That was pretty much it, man. Yeah. Yes.
Hell in the Cell sucked. Although apparently I heard it got good ratings.
It wasn't terrible. It was
a
good.
There was a couple matches that were really good.
There was a good undercard. Main event was good up until the finish, and then it's like I'll just put it this way, man. A shitty main event. Your pay per view is only as good as the finish to your main event. It really is. The things people are going to remember the most are going to be the opener and how it ends.
And the mid. That's basically how Vince McMahon always. That's why there's usually like an IC title or like a title match to start off events, because he knows like the beginning, the middle, and the end is where it's at.
But the two most important things are how it opens and what you see before you finish watching it, because what you see at the end is going to just sway your opinion of the whole thing. That's just psychology, man.
Yeah,
because you've been watching it for such a long time.
That's how I felt about episode one.
Yeah.
I was like, this movie was the greatest movie I've ever. Did you see that lightsaber battle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank God that
now
happened.
Now we're reiterating to prove that Sean has watched Star Wars, everyone. Since he doesn't know what a porn
Thank
is.
Thank God for that lightsaber fight.
Oh, Darth Maul was the shit. And then they stupidly killed him off.
Have you seen Solo?
Yeah, I've seen Solo. I actually liked Solo a lot.
I popped at the end when he showed up.
I popped for when Han shot first.
You liked Solo?
I liked Solo a lot. I am a huge Ron Howard fan. And I also liked the movie itself. And the guy, geez, I can't think of his name, who did Lando.
Donald
Nailed
Glover.
It. Yeah, yeah, killed it.
I love Lando.
I can't wait for a Don.
He's amazing in like everything that he does. I like him.
Yes.
Yes, he's a very talented human being.
Well
do you want to wrap this up?
Yeah, I think that's a good one to leave it off on. So, yeah, any other thoughts, anybody? Anybody got anything?
I would never leave AJ Styles for Samoa Joe.
We're aware.
What about that Hell in a Cell match with Mick Foley?
That was amazing, but it made me very uncomfortable, and I'm very glad that Santa's okay now.
That will never be topped, and up your storytelling. That's the only way you can top it and keep us watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, until next time, this is Justin Cotterell.
April Andes.
And Sean Farrell.
Go see Bar Wrestling. Later, everybody.
Plug.